5 minutes till Shkia, so we'll do the quick Daf Yomi review now. Today's Daf was Yuma Daf Nandala. The Mishnah had said that in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Aron in the Beis HaMikdash, and instead there was a stone there that was called Shasiya. And that's what we call the Evan HaShasiya. So the Gemara discusses what happened to the Aron. Where exactly did the Aron go toward the end of the period of the first Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara has various possibilities. One possibility is that Galo LeBavel, that the Aron ended up being sent into exile into Bavel. Another possibility is that Aron B'Mekomo Nignaz, that it was hidden underground somewhere right underneath the Kodesh HaKadashim. Third possibility is that it was hidden somewhere else in the Beis HaMikdash complex, not directly underneath the Kodesh HaKadashim, maybe by the Lishchas HaEitzim. And the Gemara in that context mentions that one of the source for the idea that it was B'Mekomo Nignaz is that the Pasuk says, the Pasuk uses the phrase Ad Hayom Hazeh, which implies that it remains there until this very day, that even nowadays the Aron still remains by the Beis HaMikdash, by the Makom HaMikdash. But the Gemara question is, Ad Hayom Hazeh always mean literally until today? That it's Mamish Ad Hayom Hazeh? So first we find other Ad Hayom Hazehs that don't mean literally until today. So first the Gemara thought to say that if it says Shum and Ad Hayom Hazeh, then it for sure means even until today. But the Gemara rejects that distinction and is not really sure why this Ad Hayom Hazeh has to literally mean until today. Then the Gemara tells stories about where they almost found the Makom of the Aron. It tells a story about a Kohen who was doing some sort of avoda, and he was doing something in the Beis HaMikdash, and he noticed one of the floor tiles was different than the others, and he ran to go tell somebody that one of the floor tiles was different than the others, and they figured that's where the Aron was nignaz, and lo hispik ligmar sadavar achiyatz nishmaso, he dropped dead before he was able to finish telling the story, so we never found out exactly where it was. Another time, someone was deworming wood from his axe, and Nishmata Karduma Shalakmi, and one of their handles fell off of the axe, and it landed right on a place where probably the Aron was, and it Yatsa Eshva Chalto, a fire came out and completely consumed it, and we assume that's where the Aron was. The Gemara tells us that when the Aron was in the Beis HaMikdash, the Badim of the Aron were visible through the Paroches. Not that you could actually see the Badim themselves, but there was a protrusion in the Paroches where the Badim actually were. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, how is that possible? Oh, and the Gemara says they would roll up the Paroches for the Olei Regalim to show the Kruvim to anyone who was Olei Regal, as a way of saying, look how beloved you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kama chavivin lefnei HaMakom, that you see the Kruvim, which is symbolic of the love between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, wait a second, how were they ever able to roll up the Paroches so that you could then see the Kruvim? In the first Beis HaMikdash, there was no Paroches. There was a wall there. It wasn't a Paroches. So they weren't rolling anything up. In the second Beis HaMikdash, they had a Paroches. But if you roll up the Paroches, you wouldn't see any Kruvim because there was no Aron in the second Beis HaMikdash. So when could this ever have possibly been? So Gemara says there are both possibilities. It could have been in the Zman of the first Beis HaMikdash, and there was a wall there, but there was also a doorway. And in that doorway, they had a Paroches. So they would roll up that Paroches. Or it could have been talking about in the Zman of the second Beis HaMikdash, and there was no Aron, but they weren't showing them the Kruvim by the Aron. They were showing them Kruvim that were painted onto the walls, that were etched onto the walls of the Kodesh HaKadashim. That was the Kruvim that people were able to see. The Gemara says that Bishash Shenichnasu Nachrim LaHeichal, when the Gayim came into the Heichal, they saw the Kruvim hugging each other, and they mocked the whole idea that this is what the Klal Yisrael, which is such a holy nation, Shebrachasan Bracha V'Kilasan Klala, when we bless, it means something. When we curse, it means something. This is what we're Osek in. This is what we have in our holiest place. So there were Mezalzel in the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Daf concludes with a brief discussion about the Evan HaShasiya. There is one opinion that Mimeno Hushsas Ha'olam, that the whole world, the creation of the world began with the Evan HaShasiya. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world around that Evan HaShasiya. But this is only one of three different opinions about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu went about creating the world. One opinion is Me'em Tz'iso Nivra, it was from its center that everything was built around it. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Minat Stadin Nivra, it was from the sides and built inward. And Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Evan Yara Kadosh Baruch Hu B'yam Yimenu Nishsa Sa'olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu threw an Evan into the sea, and that's where the and from that the earth started to form and the continents started to form after Kadosh Baruch Hu threw a certain Evan into the sea. And then there's a fourth possibility that Todos Shamayim Mishamayim Nivru and Todos Haaretz Me'aretz Nivru, that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens, he created the earth, and this possibility would work with any of the other three. It's not necessarily a fourth opinion, but he created all the things in Shemayim from the Shemayim, and all the things on earth from the earth. Those are the different opinions about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world.